Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I got my buddy Eve Gigi on the podcast with me tonight. We're going to spend the next however many minutes getting into the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group and answering many of your questions. So what we want to do is be able to kind of give you our feedback on these questions. And sometimes it's easier for us to just be like, to talk out the answer and like verbalize this than to sit there and type, because we're very slow typers. We're not super tech savvy people in general. So this should be much more in-depth answer to your question. We appreciate you leaving questions in there. And also appreciate all the other people in the group that are interested and willing to share their experiences. And there's some really successful business owners in their own right that are in there helping other people out. So that's been amazing to see. Before we get into that stuff though, we do have kind of a couple things we want to let everybody know about. So number one, the book that I've been working on for the last 8 months is in the editor's hands at this point. The process is almost done. Should be out in January. So be on the lookout for that. If you want to learn about the stages of a performance-based cash practice and how to scale that up to a $500,000 net or gross revenue practice over a short period of time and really sharpen your sales and marketing skills, that's exactly what this book is designed to do, is be able to help you get to that point. The other thing is, I'm coming out of retirement for the APTA. I haven't been to an APTA event since 2007, and I'm going to go to CSM this year in Washington, D.C. So if you've been on the fence about it and you listen to this podcast and you want to get some CEUs and you want to meet up in person with me and Eve, come to CSM, come to Washington, D.C., and let's meet up in person. I would love to meet as many of you as possible. Say hello, learn about you, learn about what you're trying to do. I think it's amazing what our profession is doing right now and this renaissance that we're in. And I really want to be able to meet as many of you in person as we can. And we are even looking to try to line up a little potential workout that we can all do together at a friend's CrossFit gym there in DC. One of those mornings we can get up early together, train together, misery loves company. And then we can go and learn some physical therapy related information the rest of those 3 days. We got to get moving at least one day, right, Eve?
Yeah, man. I can't believe that you've agreed to do this. I am so pumped. It's probably not going to happen again. So if you're listening to this, this is your one chance.
That's true. No, I'm excited. You know, the reason why, a couple reasons. Number one is we have had enough people reach out to us now asking us about going to, you know, different events through the APTA. So whether it be private practice or CSM, Next, whatever, any of the ones they have on that, we finally decided, you know, okay, let's do it. You know, we'll go to one, I'll get some CEUs. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people on the phone. You know, we get together with our mastermind group, but it's a pretty small group of people compared to the number of people that are in the Facebook group or that listen to this podcast. You know, we got 20-ish people, 25 people, I guess, in the mastermind group. We get together a couple times a year. And every time I get together with them, I get so motivated. And, you know, I'm really excited to be around other practitioners that are really trying to move the ball forward. And the other thing is there's a lot of younger PTs out there that I know are going to be, you know, at CSM, and there's a lot of students that listen to this podcast, and I'm excited to kind of meet with them and, you know, just get a chance to to chat a little bit in person, man, and let you know, like, yeah, I'm actually a real person, and you know, and I'll shake your hand and I'll look you in the eye and we can have a conversation and we can talk about what you're trying to do and you know, and how we can help and you know, learn more about you guys and what you're doing. So I'm excited to do that. I'm hoping we can get this lined up. I'd love nothing more than to be able to meet you guys, but also we got to lead from the front. We got to be, you have to be the most fit person in the world. I'm definitely not, but man, I train and I lead from the front. And I think it's important for us to lead by example and not be hypocritical to our patients. If that's what we're telling them to do, we need to do it ourselves. So, this is what we do at our mastermind group. We train. I'm not sure if there's enough interest, we may have to cap it. Honestly, I don't really know, the max number of people that my buddy can run through a little training session. I guess we'll see, maybe like 50. I'm not even sure.
Yeah, let's break it, man. I love it. And, you know, I definitely think we should do a happy hour or something too. So, you know,
yeah,
for those people who may not want to train, although you should, you can come have a beer with us too.
Yeah, we can grab a beer. We can, you know, whatever. We can meet up in between the actual like content that's being presented, potentially during the content that's being presented. I'm not necessarily, the last conference we went to, I think we went, it was 3 days, and I think we went to probably like one full day's worth of stuff, because we had enough stuff to implement after a short period of time that we just did it, you know, and got it done. And what a cool city too. I mean, DC is such a fun town. I'm really looking forward to catching up with some people that I know that, you know, that live there. Carrie Pagliano is listening to this. So we got to catch up with, Carrie, although, you know, she has some presidential duties for the women's health, section. Megan Brown, who, I definitely want to try to get together with in person. I've never met in person, but just seems like one of the more fun people that I've ever had a chance to talk to on the podcast. My boy Jimmy McKay should be in town. Hopefully, Shantae Cofield's going to be there. I'm trying to talk her into it. I think, you know, we'll see if she's teaching in her travel schedule, but hopefully the Movement Maestro, you know, can hang out as well. So there's just going to be a lot of people that, you know, I'm sure you guys feel like you have some sort of connection to, whether it be just via social media or a podcast or whatever it is. But just to be able to meet in person, I think is really important. So we're flying up there. Our wives have to take care of the kids. So they do the hard job for a couple of days, and we get to have a little bit of fun in the nation's capital. And then, you know, come back and continue to kind of work on all the projects that we have and try to drive our profession forward. So, so that's it. So we're going to CSM. If you guys are interested in going, you know, let us know. If you listen to the podcast, you know, you want to reach out to us to let us know that you're going. I mean, the easiest thing to do is Instagram. Honestly, just shoot me a message at Danny Matei PT or Eve at PT Biz, right? That's the handle.
Yep.
So let us know. Let us know where you guys are going to be. We've already had a handful of people reach out to us about wanting to grab a beer at this point. So I think we'll drink a lot of beer. Sounds like we're going to drink a lot of beer while we're in Washington, D.C. We'll see. Got to hang. Anyway, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into these questions tonight. So for those of you that are in that Facebook group, you know, these are the questions we're going to answer, the sort of most relevant, newer relevant ones that we found. If you're not in that Facebook group and you'd like to join, head over to Facebook and go to PT Entrepreneurs, search for that in the group section, and you'll see the little wolf logo that we have, which is a play on Game of Thrones. And that is the PT Entrepreneurs group. And there's about 1,500 people in there. It's a great place for you to sort of interact with other business owners, get questions answered, answer other people's questions, and just kind of try to be as helpful as you possibly can. We try to moderate it as much as we can, but it's really hard sometimes to actually like see all the questions and answer them all. Like there can be a lot. So we want to take this opportunity on the podcast to at least be able to address those in a little bit more detail and let you know that we are actively aware of the questions you're asking and that we want to be as helpful as possible. So what we're going to do is Eve, who is a much better reader than me, is going to read. Then we're going to take you know, our crack at answering those questions individually. And then hopefully going forward, if you leave a question there, it's a really good question, then we'll make sure we highlight you and actually answer that, you know, on the podcast. And potentially we'd like to actually do these live in the group. The tech side of it is something that we're getting that squared away right now.
Slowly but surely. Yeah, I'm now an expert reader. I've gone through at least one full Harry Potter book out loud with my son, and he tells me I'm an awesome reader. So
really?
I'm just gonna move that.
See, my son always tries to get me to read. He thinks it's funny. I'm an incredibly bad reader, dude. Like, I think I have some sort of like disconnect between like viewing things and actually being able to like verbalize them. I mean, I can read, don't get me wrong, but this just goes to show you, you don't have to be the most intelligent person in the world to make things work for you. So yeah. My brother can't do math, you know, like he has, like it gets messed up in his head to where he just can't, he's not good at it. And, you know, he's doing fine as well. So, you know, the thing is, like, he tries to get me to read these Dr. Seuss books, like Fox and Socks, I think is what it's called. Socks and Fox or something like that. Dude, it's the worst book, man. It's the most difficult book to read. It's just so confusing. It's hard to, like, you know, it's just designed to make you not be able to read it very well. And my son just laughs his ass off while I try to read this book and sound like just a complete moron. So anyway, we'll let you read tonight for the sake of everybody else. I'll answer the questions with you. And like I said, if you guys have a question, throw it in the group and we'll try to highlight these as much as we can.
All right. So first one is from Tristan. And I'm not going to attempt to say the last names. I'm just going with first names for now. So Tristan asks, just a quick question, since this is constantly on my mind, but as a first year PT student, what should be my main concern while in school? I'd like to open up my own practice that is a hybrid with treatment and health coaching. Health coaching is what I do now. I've been learning, selling, budgeting, and investing, building my brand mainly on IG, Instagram, and I've been trying to connect more with other PT entrepreneurs to pick their brain. But what else would you guys recommend I focus on? Not stressed or anything, good job, Tristan, with these things, just in case anyone may think that, LOL. Greatly appreciate your insights.
That's a good question. You know, I feel like, I don't know, I would say a good percentage of questions that I get, or that not necessarily in this group in particular, but definitely a lot of emails and messages that I get on Instagram come from students. And I can tell you this much, you must be a hell of a lot smarter than me, because when I was in school, all I was worried about was trying not to fail. Like, I was just trying to get through neuroscience and, you know, get out of school. So let me first of all say congratulations. You must be a hell of a lot smarter than both Eve and I. And I think that most students that are in school now probably are. They're probably light years ahead of where we were. And so what I would tell you is, number one, you're already doing a lot. Like, if you're working on learning about budgeting, finance, sales, you know, branding, you're doing a ton, man. Like, it's, which is good, right? But I think that if you know in particular where you're going to set up your practice or where you want to set up your practice, this is, I think, a linchpin area that many people forget about. And I had a conversation today with two PTs. There were consulting calls, and both of them were expressing frustration to me about sort of like digital platforms, marketing on digital platforms, feeling like they weren't really getting anything out of Google, Facebook, Instagram, like they're both organically and also paid. And the challenge, I think, for many people is they hear all these stories about how, oh, I can build this $1 million business on Facebook selling, you know, with ads. Well, you know, if you're selling fidget spinners and you're really good at Facebook ads and you're really good at like conversion landing pages and upsells and you understand like the wizardry of all of that, yeah, you probably can. But when you look at physical therapy, it's completely different. This is a local service business. And what you have to remember is local service businesses are heavily weighed on your reputation. And you also have to look at the psychology of somebody that's going to potentially first get connected with you via social media, maybe it's via content or something like that. Well, the next step for them is going to be, hey, let me look you up and let me see what, you know, you're all about. And if there's any social proof, what your website says, like, is there any weird shit about you online? Like, is this guy a sex offender? You know, like this is what people do, is like, they look for information about you to see if you're actually legit or not. And if you do not have your local presence dialed in, and that means both, you know, the place where they're looking for you, but also some sort of presence, whether it be via social proof of like reviews, or honestly, it could just be like more content that, but it has like a decent amount of views. you're going to have a hard time of converting that person. The other thing that they're going to do is they're going to ask their friends in that area if they've ever heard of you. So one of the best things you could do as a student, if you know where you're going to be, and maybe it's where you're going to school, maybe it's not, but is reach out to people in the area where you want to start your practice to start to develop those local relationships that are so important to actually build your brand locally, build your reputation locally, so that when you get there and you open up shop, you have a rolling start and you're not trying to start from square one and thinking that, you know, some of these more digital things are going to really be the biggest part of your business. I think they're a huge part of the business, but they are not, they mean nothing without the local reputation that your business needs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, that's huge for anybody's business, is to make sure that they've got something. That's mainly the biggest reason that we've grown, is just from a local marketing standpoint and having a huge...
You guys kill it with that, dude. You guys are the best. You guys are the best with local marketing from a cash practice that I have seen in the country. I really think that, like, the way that you guys are able to maintain and develop relationships, it's time consuming, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's very time intensive. And this is what... one of the reasons why people are so drawn towards the digital side of marketing. They're like, oh, well, I can just create this one blog post, and then I can create this Facebook ad that goes to it, and then I create this funnel with upsells and downsells, and then, you know, I have this opt-in bait, and then I created 30 emails for a drip sequence. But, you know, dude, have you shook anybody's fucking hand? Like, have you actually talked to somebody that could potentially change your business locally? Like, get out of your office and actually go in and spend some time with another human being, because that is going to be more beneficial for your business, especially in the early stages, than any sort of advanced digital marketing you can do. Now, and once you get that stuff in place, like where you guys are now with this strong local presence, if you can solve the puzzle of the digital marketing side of things, that is where you can basically throw, you know, gasoline on this fire that you've built, and it can really kind of explode up from there. It can really grow and scale quickly. So, you know, for what have you noticed, if you had to, you know, give Tristan a tip or two about how to develop relationships locally, and who we should look to develop relationships with, what would you tell him?
By far, it's going to be with other fitness and health professionals. So chiropractors, personal trainers, gym owners, yoga teachers, nutritionists, acupuncturists, all these people who are doing something very similar in a cash-based kind of setting, and are seeing, you know, I'm not sure what Tristan's ideal client is, but those, the people that are actually serving your ideal client, those are the people that you want to start having coffee with, going and trying their services, you know, just networking with them, right? And becoming, for the lack of a better word, like friends with them, right? And really learning more about them and their business. I mean, that's, you know, as I taught in the mastermind, it was the more that you can learn about somebody else, and the more that you can ask questions, the more you can dig in to who they are and what they're about and what makes them click. That's how that relationship becomes, you know, bears fruit and blooms, you know, and can be something that can benefit you in so many ways, not necessarily just seeing patients, but as a resource for other stuff. It's amazing how that stuff can grow. And I use it today. It can become like a spider web of awesomeness is what I used. And it's just because it just branches out and becomes bigger and bigger, and all these people are connected. And before you know it, you have so much momentum, you don't even know what to do with it. So yeah, I mean, that's definitely by far
the best. The other big piece is like not to try and rush relationship development, right? Like I think the biggest mistake people make with this stuff is they're just like, they go in and they want to just spew on this person all about how awesome they are and why it's so important for them to send people their way. And even though that might be the case, it's probably the worst thing you could do to start a relationship out, right? Like you cannot force these things. And when you're just starting out, it's you can be very motivated, and you can also be sort of like a bit frustrated where you want things to happen faster, but you just cannot accelerate relationship development. You have to build that as if you're just trying to, you know, cultivate a friendship. I mean, that's really what it is. And like Eve said, eventually you get to a point where instead of you kind of going to meet other people and then hoping that they connect you, or asking and see if they can connect you with somebody else that they know that maybe fits in that similar realm that could be mutually beneficial, people are going to come to you and ask you about who you can connect them with. You know, this happens to us every week, and it's actually one of the more I guess I think it's one of the more fun things. One of the more things that one of the things I enjoy more is the ability to connect other people now because of how many people that we know and establish those relationships for them. It's just helpful because I've been there and I know it's frustrating, but it also is something that, you know, you're doing a lot of really positive, work with for somebody else with asking nothing in return. And long-term that's really good because that means that you're going to have stronger relationships. They're more likely to want to do business with you. They're less likely to want to do something that would maybe be detrimental to your business as well. And that is just time intensive and that you can't rush it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's a no-brainer and it's easy to do. I mean, it's definitely a hard task. I mean, like you said, most people want to go in and they want to, you know, it's stuff that we talk about, like, oh, tell them about all the value that you bring. And like, if it's a gym owner, tell them you can do workshops and you can keep their athletes healthy. But guess what? That may not be what they're interested in. Like, first, right, you've got to learn what they're actually interested in, what their problems are. And you do that by asking questions. You don't do that by assuming that this is what they need and this is what they want.
Yeah, totally. That's a great point. All right. Who we got next?
All right. Claudian, Jody Davis. All right. Any recommendations on how I can market my PT and wellness business to the older adult community? I've reached out to some senior centers and I'm pending a response. Not sure that they will even get back to me. Mm.
The dreaded cold email that never works.
Okay. That never works.
Yes. So, I do not think that email blasting people is maybe the best way to just to get somebody to agree to want to meet with you. If given the opportunity, if you can use your network of either colleagues, referral partners, this is again kind of goes back to this local presence, right? Like let's say, okay, there's a retirement community down the road from us. We don't see Medicare age population, so it doesn't really have anything to do with us. But if I was to want to reach out to them, the first thing that I would do is I would reach out to a patient of mine or a past patient of mine that I knew was, you know, had been in the area for a long time. And I would say, hey, Fred, I'm really interested in trying to be able to get over to this retirement community so I can meet, you know, some of the people there and see if there's any way that we can, you know, really help them out and help their people be healthy longer and enjoy their physical activity longer in these retirement communities. Do you know anybody that you think would have a connection there or that works there? Or you know anybody that lives there that you could connect me with that could then get me in front of somebody that is in that community, in that building? Now, I would start there because these are people that already know, like, and trust me or you in this case, and you can ask them for assistance with this for the purpose of trying to help this other community of people. And if they know that you've already helped them, they're very likely to want to help you help these people as well, especially there's no cost to them. It's time. And not only that, but they feel like they get a win if they can help you get connected with this, right? So I would start with that. And if you can't necessarily get that in place, this setting in particular, I think you'd be better off just going there, talking to the, the admin staff and, getting to know, those people a little bit more and trying to figure out who they feel like the most appropriate person for you to connect with would be. And then see if you can get their contact information, that way, right? So the best bet is to get a warm introduction from somebody else that may know those people. The second best bet for that situation is going to be probably to go there. And this is where we got to put our big girl, big boy pants on in terms of being okay with getting turned down. And it's very natural to have anxiety associated with rejection, which is what this essentially is. It's much easier to get rejected or not answered to from a email and not take that quite as personally. But when somebody does that to your face, it's not comfortable. I've been there. It still happens to me. And I just don't, it doesn't affect me nearly as much as it did whenever I first started out. So the email, the cold email is probably not going to work so great in this situation or really any situation. The warm introductions make a significant difference. And if that doesn't work, then show up and try to get to know somebody that is there that can potentially help you meet the person that you would need to talk to, which I'm assuming would probably be like one of their directors, HR director potentially. You could also even look up this facility on LinkedIn, and you could figure out who their HR department is and reach out to the HR department of this organization on LinkedIn or via getting their email and then email them that way. But like, instead of just directly emailing like the info at, you know, Sandy Bridges or whatever the name of the place is, .com, like see if you can get somebody directly in the HR department versus the director or the CEO of it or whatever is probably going to be less likely to want to actually answer you.
Yeah, I mean, to echo what you said, the cold email, I mean, we've now worked with, you know, countless PTs, and the cold email just does not work. I mean, it's fine as an initial entry point, like throw them out there. Maybe you'll get a response, maybe not. But by far, you know, we teach people to drop in, to go attempt to get a face-to-face. And for instance, for senior centers, right? Like, you can cyber stalk almost anybody. So like, just an idea that I told one of our, coaching clients was go cyber stalk that, just like you said, on LinkedIn, that senior center, find out if they have any programs or maybe they have some free events or maybe, I don't know, anything, like find out something about them and then use that something to go in there and walk in. Cause the fear of rejection, totally. That's one piece. It's also like, I'm going to go in there and what the heck am I going to say? What the heck am I going to talk about? Like, you can go in there and be like, oh man, that's really amazing. You have this diabetes foot clinic that you do, you know, once a month. I'd love to do the same thing and, you know, talk about balance after that clinic. Like, get me in touch with that person, you know, like go in there with a plan and something to do. And I just called it like finding a bridge. The same thing we talked about before with local marketing. You need to find a bridge with that person and then build that bridge. And that's basically networking in a nutshell.
Totally. And the other thing that I always hate to hear is I'm waiting on a response. Like anytime I hear the word waiting, I hate that. I don't like to wait at all. I'm sure it frustrates, you know, you as well. And like, I think of the, all the places you will go, the Dr. Seuss book, the one of the few that doesn't confuse me. I read this book to my kids all the time. Like, I read this book to my kids at least once every maybe 2 weeks, and they are tired of it, but I still read it to them because I think it's probably the single most, the single best entrepreneurial book ever written. And that's a bold statement. It is my favorite entrepreneurial book ever. And if you
really,
yes. And if you read the book, and I highly recommend, if you have not read All the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, it's one of my favorite books ever. There's a couple pages in there where they talk about the waiting place and all the people that are waiting for the phone to ring and all these things to happen. And what they're really saying is you can't wait for these things in life. You can't wait for opportunity. You can't wait for the things to come to you. You have to go and get those things. You know, like we talk this about like this idea of, you know, do you want to be a wolf or do you want to be a sheep? And you know, that the little logo we have, the little sheep, the little wolf logo. Yeah. We like Game of Thrones and sure. We like Jon Snow and whatnot. But honestly, when we look at the difference between people in this world in a business sense, there's people that are sheep that want to be force fed patients, that want to be force fed work, that want to be force fed, you know, whatever, easy things. And they just want to show up and do their job. And then there's very few people that are wolves that are interested in going out and getting what it is that they want. You know, you got to go out and kill what you're going to eat. And that's what we're talking about is don't be okay with waiting for a response because the likelihood that response will come is very low. And the percentage that a lot of people that you cold email are going to respond are very low versus not many people are willing to go out and get in front of people and face that unknown, that fear. And if you can get away from the waiting, you're going to be much, much more successful. So if you haven't read All the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, do it. It's seriously one of my favorite books, especially from a business standpoint that I've ever read.
I've read that book countless times, and I'm just going to go ahead and just give an honest moment. I never took that from it. And now that you say it, I totally don't know how I missed it. Yeah. But yeah, I've never seen a Dr. Seuss book be an entrepreneurial book, but yeah.
Well, 100%. That book is about all the highs and lows that happen within the stages of an entrepreneur. Like you have to understand, and if you haven't started a business, you can't understand this stuff. And I try to explain this to like our staff, you know, sometimes as well, about just the stress, the risk, like this amazing thing happened and then, oh shit, I think we might be going out of business. Like the roller coaster that is owning a business, and in particular starting a business. And you read that book, they talk about like, oh, you know, you'll win all these things, and then all of a sudden you're in a slump. You know, and the only way to get out of a slump is, you know, unslumping yourself is not easily done, right? And like then it's the waiting place, and then now all of a sudden you break out again, and then all of a sudden you're back to a dip, and it's not as good as you thought it was going to be. But you're persistent, and you keep going, and you don't stop, and you don't take failure as the end all be all. It's just a lesson to be learned. That's, you know, that's what that little kid's book is about, man. I mean, that is literally what it's about. And if you read about why Dr. Seuss wrote that, it's because of that. That's, he wrote that because of the entrepreneurial journey and that he experienced. So it's a great book, but understand, like, you have to be okay with people rejecting you. You have to go out and get what you want. You can't send emails off. You can't send Facebook messages off, Instagram messages off, and just wait and hope that somebody gets back to you and that person is willing to affect your business in a positive way. You got to go get it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I've never thought about this from a different angle, but like, I don't really wait. Like, I'm always actively doing something.
Right.
There's certain things I can't control, and that's fine, but I look at all the things I can control, and then I work as hard as possible on those specific things. And what I really like that you talked about, and I feel like not a lot of people, especially successful people, talk about, is like how much it still sucks. Like, you know, like I have a lot of highs, but I also have a lot of lows. And you know, that happened year one, it's going to happen year two, it's going to happen year 10, 20, all down the road. Like if we keep actively being entrepreneurs and being wolves, as you said, like it comes with the territory. Like it's not all roses and it's all awesome and I'm just sitting back hanging out. Like that's part of it. But also a big part of it is not being able to sleep at night and being super frustrated and being scared. And, yeah, you know, and like you said, it's the people that can take those struggles and create action despite those struggles. And those are the people that I think can be super successful.
And I think the other thing too is, and for those of you listening to this, you might feel like this sometimes, like it's very challenging for you to articulate your, not necessarily articulate, you can articulate your vision, but it's hard for other people to see it. You know, it's hard for other people to see what you're trying to do. And they also aren't really sure why, right? Like, there's plenty of people that I've worked with, especially in the government, whenever I was in the Army, that their ideal job, like their dream job, was a job in which they could go to work, not really have to do too much. Like honestly, probably do maybe 2 hours of work a day and then waste the day away looking at random things on the internet and or just doing sort of busy work and not really ever do anything super challenging. And I ran into these people a lot because it's sort of, the government is a place that harbors a lot of this. Like it's just, once you get a government job, it's very hard to get fired unless you do something incredibly wrong. I mean, I could tell you terrible stories of people that did some very bad things that didn't get fired because of how strong the union is for government employees. But that type of job, that type of life sounds terrible to me. It sounds like jail. It sounds incredibly bad. And those of you listening to this probably agree with me. And you're not normal if that's the way that you feel. You're not normal if you feel like it's never enough or you're trying to progress to get more out of life. But it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that that's the way that you are. And it can be frustrating. It can be very isolating sometimes. You can feel very lonely with your view of the world. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why I feel like, like for instance, like our mastermind group, I feel like it's not just that, right? But just any sort of business community where you can get other entrepreneurs around each other, they start to realize oh, I'm not some kind of like crazy person. I'm not weird. I'm just sort of like the rest of these people. And we all sort of fall into this strange personality type in a way where our hobby is our business and we really enjoy it. And that's sort of weird for people to see outside. It's like most people don't like going to work. I jump out of bed to go to the office. I fucking love it, you know? And also in some sense, they're probably somewhat envious of that because they don't have it and they sit in their car and wish they didn't have to go to work. And that's sad, you know, and we don't have that. So we get an opportunity for all the stress and all the unknown and all the, you know, negatives that can come along with this and the risk, the opportunity to have what you do for a living be what gives you a lot of joy in life is very rare. And we have that opportunity. So the negative things that come along with it, like getting turned down, like you have to take that in perspective of what it is you're working towards and keep in mind that that's just part of the journey. No one ever was successful in a business without getting turned down, without getting somebody to tell them that they were doing the wrong thing. You know, probably without a family member telling them that they shouldn't do it. I mean, how many, I don't know if your family was like that. My family is super supportive, but they didn't really understand why I wanted to get out of the Army when I had opportunity to get promoted and essentially stay in for a career and get a pension at 42 and healthcare for life to get out of the Army to go open a practice where I didn't take insurance in a CrossFit gym in a room that had no windows in a city where I knew no one. That's sort of an odd thing to do, right? And it's a crazy thing to say out loud. But the vision that you have to follow that. You know, so understand you're going to get turned down. You have to accept it, but you have to get out there. You can't just sit in your office and send emails off.
Yeah, 100%. Like if you're anybody who's out there and you feel like you have that itch, right? And you're really struggling to find like how to continue to work past that. I mean, there's a lot of books out there, but one of my favorites by far is called Obstacle is the Way. I don't know if you've read that at all,
David. Yeah, Ryan Holiday. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's just embracing the idea of like every single time that you have an obstacle or a failure, it's like you're not supposed to go around it. It's just like that is your path. Like that's exactly where you're supposed to be. And it's perfect. And like embracing that. And I love that mentality. It's just it's huge to push people forward, I feel like.
Dude, that's such a good book. You could read the first two pages of that book and then put it down and it'd be worth the cost of the book. Like, it's so good, man. And it's true. Like, I think about some of the worst just sort of like things that we've decided to do in business, the worst failures that we've had, you know, and some were real bad. Like, I wish I could go back in time and not do it. But the thing is, like, on the backside of that, like after that, the lessons that we learned about business, about how we need to organize our business. You know, I mean, I told you the story of how we just went about expanding completely wrong. Like we didn't know how to negotiate a lease. We thought that we'd have this fast build out around the holidays, which by the way, if you ever decide to do a build out, don't do it around the holidays. Inspections don't happen from the government. Like, it's terrible. It's the worst time to do it. It's bad anytime, but that's definitely the worst time. And, you know, for a solid like 5 months, as close to probably 6 months, like we were delayed on our build out, and yet we still had overhead from staff. We had overhead from the facility, from the equipment we had already ordered, from upgraded insurance we had to get for all this stuff. And it was also at the worst time of the year whenever it's a little bit slower. So, for us learning an $80,000 lesson, fucking sucks. Okay. If that amount of money was sitting on this desk right now, I would look like a drug kingpin. Like, that's so much money that we lost in the process of this build out in the growth stage. But you know what? What that led us to was to become obsessive over learning about business, which led us to a moment like this where we're talking about how people can deal with rejection and frustration. And I don't think I'd be able to relate as well to what some other people are going through if we didn't have to go through such a difficult thing of trying to grow and doing it completely wrong and sitting on the couch with Ashley, looking at, you know, our bank account, counting down the months to where we hit zero and we're going to have to start putting everything on credit cards. Like, that wasn't that long ago. I remember that vividly, and I really hope to never have to do that ever again. And it's not going to happen because we understand what we're doing so much better, not because of the easy stuff, because of that shit that we had to go through. So understand that, like, the obstacles that you end up running up against, these walls that you hit, you have to learn from that. And if you don't, it's a wasted lesson. And if you can learn from it, it can be one of the more valuable things that you learn in your business ever.
100%. I mean, obstacles are opportunities. They're opportunities to learn exactly what you need to learn at that moment. Just as you said, because you've been through that, you know so much more about business. Had you not been through that, you would know what you know now. Like, it's a big philosophy of mine. I just throw myself into the fire, not crazy, but like as much as I can, because I know that's the best way that I learn is literally by putting myself through it, and I'm going to learn every single time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and that's honestly the moment where I was like, dude, I do not know shit about business. Like, I am a good enough clinician to where people want to come and see me and I can get a busy schedule. But if I wanted to scale past myself and be able to impact more people in the area, but and also be able to create a business to where we could hire other people and create these jobs that we wish we would have had the opportunity to have getting out of the Army. We had to understand, we had to learn about it. And that's when we started to really go deep into getting mentorship, paying to be a part of business groups, paying to go to business courses. And I mean, buying business, courses online or tons of books. And like the amount of money I spent on self-business education from that moment is a ridiculous amount. I mean, compared to it's as much as most people leave going out of PT school with loans. That's how much I've spent in the last couple of years on business education. Because we know how important it is to have that investment. And we also know what it feels like to feel frustrated and not know what to do. And that's not a good place to be. And we never want to be there again. And that investment in yourself, this is just to get on a soapbox for a second. This is something that pisses me off more than anything when it comes to physical therapists. They seem very risk averse, but they're totally down to drop all this money going to get CEUs to help improve their dry needling skills or whatever it might be. But yet, they balk at the opportunity to grow their ability to learn how to sell or market or develop business systems. When in actuality, what you do from a clinical standpoint is probably 10% of the success that you have in business. The 90% is how well you can actually do these things, these skills within business that you didn't learn in PT school. You know, and one of the safest investments I feel is an investment in yourself. Like, have you ever done like business education work, whether it be a course that you bought or a mastermind you got a part of or a coach that you paid to learn something specific that you regretted and you're like, damn, what a waste of freaking money?
No, never. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's the self-development stuff is huge. And I feel like to piggyback off that, like we ask our patients, especially in cash-based business,
yes,
to make an investment in us. And why would we not be willing to do the same thing ourselves, which is make a fiscal financial investment to better ourselves as well? I mean, the thing that I love too is that those sales and marketing skills, and I thought about this today and I was telling it to some of our PTs, is we really help our physical therapist sell these plans of care, whether they're 6 or 10, and we totally do it in an ethical way and make sure that they're appropriate for it. And that's a whole nother conversation. But like most of our people finish these plans of care and guess what they have? And it's not because they're physical therapists. It's purely from a sales and marketing skill standpoint that they're finishing these plans of care. I don't know a PT out there that's not going to say that if somebody finishes their plan of care, that they're not having a better outcome than when they don't. So it's just like, there you go. There's a 1-to-1 ratio right there. Like I can learn how to, dry needle a little bit better or do a Graston technique or do an ART. But why not invest in something that you suck at? You know what I mean? Like I'm going to get way more return on investment of that than, improve myself by 2% clinically.
Dude. And honestly, like it's not just us too. I was at the Falcons game on Sunday with a buddy of mine that is a strength and conditioning coach. He's a pretty well-known strength and conditioning coach that has a pretty popular book. I'm not going to say his name because I'm going to talk about somebody that emailed or that texted him or Instagram messaged him about. So he has this course, right, about just sort of how to get better outcomes from your athletes when you're working with them. And he shows me at the game, he's like, you want to see what I'm dealing with? And he shows me this Instagram because we're bitching about this. I'm like, dude, why don't people want to invest in themselves more? Like it's no brainer for me. Like, I think it's like, I look for opportunities to invest as much as I can in myself. How can I learn more? Who can I learn from? Like, it's like cheat codes to business. I don't understand why people wouldn't want to like accelerate the change. And he goes, read this. And it's some strength coach that's basically like, hey, I really want to do your course, but I got no money right now. I just spent my last $500 on a bounty hunter course. And I'm like, I got to do X, Y, and Z's. Like maybe I can, you know, see if I could pick up some extra work on the side to do this, this, and this. And, you know, it's like a $500 course or whatever. And he's like, this is what I'm dealing with. And it's, you know, it's somebody that would prefer to put money into a bounty hunter course than learn how to be a better professional in his profession. Like, I don't understand, you know, what it is. So, you know, I mean, I guess we got off on a tangent a little bit, but like the ability to invest in yourself is one of the safer things you can do. And I see people all the time that just think like, okay, well, if I just spend all this money on Facebook ads and Google ads, like my business will grow. Listen, Google and Facebook like nothing more than to take your money and they don't give a fuck about you. Okay. You tell them what to do. They do it. And if you pick the wrong thing, they have no problem taking your money. That is the rules of the game. That is not a safe investment unless you know full well what you're doing and you have everything in place to be able to make sure that you're getting a return on investment for that and you're actively tracking it. If you're not, you're playing Russian roulette. You're basically just gambling your money away. But if you invest in yourself to learn how to sell better, to learn how to actually market better and then implement those things, that's not just something that happens in physical therapy. Maybe in 10 years you decide you don't want to do physical therapy anymore. You want to open an ice cream store, okay? How much easier it would be to sell ice cream than freaking, you know, dry needling somebody's, you know, glute. It's way easier. Everybody likes ice cream. So, but if you understand how to sell and you understand marketing, you can take that to any other business you decide to ever go to and use it to your own success because of it. It's not a skill that doesn't transfer with you, you know, in life, anywhere you go. So anyway, I think that's just an area where people just neglect to think about the long-term positive benefits of investing in themselves in areas that they are just not that competent in.
Yeah, totally agree. You want to do one more question?
Yeah, let's get into one more.
Okay. Fred says, for those that set up a table during CrossFit/weightlifting competitions, do you guys have little giveaways like bands or koozies with your branding? What have you found works best?
This is a good one. You guys do much of this? Like tables at competitions?
Yeah, totally. Like we got one coming up and we've tried multiple things. We've tried the like giveaway, you know, you get to put in your a card or something and then we'll, you know, give you a free koozie or free shirt. We've also tried like little mini competitions where like, you know, can you pick up the cup without your hands, you know, with your teeth or whatever, like that squat challenge. By far the best thing that we've done is free treatment. Like go up there, set up a table, treat people and literally just go up to people and talk to them and say, hey, we're totally, come over here, come try some dry needling, come try some stretching, experience what we've got going on. And we've gotten multiple patients from that. You know, like there's nothing better than someone experiencing what you specifically do. And once they experience it, if they get a good result, guess what? They're more than likely to come back. We also try to capture everybody's email address. You know, it's a great way. It's like, oh, totally, I'll treat you free. Sign this waiver. I got your email. Bam, you're in their email list. And then you can nurture them another way. So that's what we've had the most success with by far.
So I used to do a lot of these whenever I first got to Atlanta. So I've had mixed experience with this. What I noticed at least was when I did some sort of like treatment or set up a table and had people come over and I'd throw some tape on them, something like that. The only people that did that were people that I honestly did not want to work with. Not to say that I didn't want to work with them because I didn't like them, but because they were not the right buyer type. They did not value my time the way that I wanted people to and the way that they should. And the people that were ideal customers of mine would probably never come up to me in that setting to work with me. And what I started noticing was I got better results when I walked around competitions and actively just talked to people and engaged with them about what was going on and what we did. And this also sort of helped because we did so many workshops that people started to get like pretty familiar with our brand. And to the point where like I would almost laugh to myself because there'd usually be some practitioner there with a table trying his ass off to get people to come over so he could, like, you know, do some little treatment to them. And I just walk around and talk to people. And, you know, if they want to introduce me to somebody that was having a problem or whatever, like a coach, they would do that. And I would end up with a handful of patients just from going to a competition as a spectator and having the time to walk around and, like, talk to people versus having a table and getting these tire kickers to come over and, you know, me manipulate their ankle or something like that and then put some tape on something. The patients I did get out of that were the frustrating ones I didn't want to deal with. You know, they're the ones that were just, they would not be very compliant. They would come in for a visit and they would never, you know, do anything we said. They really wouldn't come back. They would cancel late. So I don't know. I think you get what you allow to come through your door. And if that's the first experience that they have with you, I think you have to be very cautious of your brand, right? Like, Apple doesn't put stuff on sale. You know, and people will say, like, oh, okay, well, what about loss leaders and front ends of your funnel? And yep, that's okay. If you're a grocery store and you want to sell turkeys at a loss so you can get people in there to buy potatoes and rolls for Thanksgiving, that might be a great strategy. But does Whole Foods put turkeys on sale at a loss? Fuck no. They charge a gajillion dollars for organic wild massage turkeys or whatever the heck they sell. My wife bought one this year. I was shocked at how much it costs. They don't, because that's not their brand, man. That's not what they do. So do you want to be Whole Foods or do you want to be, you know, Kroger? And for me, like, our brand, we wanted to be Whole Foods. I put a slide up the other day on Instagram about this, about branding, the difference between, like, a dollar cup of coffee in Starbucks, the difference between a regular brick and a Supreme brick. They cost $200. What's the difference? It's perception. It's branding, right? So I don't think it's a bad place to get your brand out there. I think you just need to be very careful with how people look at your brand and what their first impression is with what you do, you know? I don't know. No, have you guys done anything like that?
No, that's really good advice. And, like, you know, you say that, and the interesting part is at these CrossFit competitions, very similar to you, like, we have, you know, the practitioners we have are, you know, we have one who literally is in these CrossFit boxes.
Yeah.
We know everybody. We're friends with everybody. We're usually treating people that we've already treated before. Mm-hmm. I'm really not treating. I'm more walking around. So, you know, it goes back to that main thing that we talk about with local marketing is, like, make yourself a part of the community. And by far, that's going to be the biggest thing, right? So whatever makes you a part of the community of that you're trying to get into, like, that's what's going to get you, and position yourself as an expert in that community. That's by far what's going to get you the most return on investment. Because we've done a couple runs too, and it's just tough. Like, if you don't know anybody and you're just sitting there, right, like, is it even worth your time from a branding standpoint? Like you said, maybe, but otherwise, you know, the best thing is to go and shake hands and integrate yourself with those people in any way that you can. Actually go run the race, you know what I mean? Or, like, you know, learn who ran the race and go meet them and use it to create a bridge. Again, I'm gonna keep saying that because usually we know the owner, and the owner now comes up to us and say, hey, do you guys wanna be the practitioner? And we say, of course, and we throw some money into sponsorship and it continues the relationship, and that's what we're more focused on. So it's honestly a really good point.
Yeah. And not to say that they can't be a good thing for your brand. For sure they can, especially if you're early on. Some of it just depends on, like, what it costs to get a table at one of those and, like, what you're getting in return for that. Sort of hard to quantify, you know? And it's also for like discounting your services and stuff. Like, if somebody's getting something for free, just them understanding that, like, you know, I don't know. It's hard to distinguish between that and the fact that you're at, like, a premium service, what we try to get across with our company. You know, so we're pretty wary with that. Like, the only time that we really ever do any sort of, like, discount on front end is if we have, like, an offer that we're offering a community of people that maybe we're doing a workshop for. In particular, this worked really well for us. Even recently, we've been, like, talking about doing events in our facility.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
For like a year, dude. We've been talking about this for a very long time, but we were so used to going out to other facilities that we've just continued to do that. And so we finally organized one, and we just said, all right, cool. Well, we don't really know what to expect, like, size wise, movement around, whatever. So we were like, okay, we're gonna limit it to 6 people. So we got 6 people just off of just sending one email out to our prior, you know, customers. And we had two people come back in, they're prior customers, four people that had been forwarded the email from one of their friends, or one of the guys came with one of his friends who was one of our old customers. And so we had six people there. We did a little back workshop. And at the end, we gave everybody the opportunity to get half off their first visit with us. Or if they're coming, they're a prior customer, half off the first visit for them coming back, that, you know, something they were working on. Obviously they're there because of back workshops, so something's on their back. And out of the six people there, so four people were new, they all scheduled a visit with us, and two people were returning and they scheduled with us. So we were 6 for 6 on this front end offer, right? And the cool thing about that is we track this now that these people have gone through to where they were coming back for their second visit. Of the six people that came back in, three of those six bought a 6-visit package, one bought a 10-visit package, and the other two, as of right now, haven't done a package of any sort, but potentially may. So of that one workshop, that slight discount that we offered, an opportunity, and it was time-based too. It was a Wednesday, and they had until Friday to book with us to get it if they wanted to use it. And so that turned into a good chunk of volume that we were able to generate with a discounted offer, but in a very kind of like specific setting with specific context to it as well. So anyway, I think you have to be careful with how you discount stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Couldn't agree more. I mean, you've got to do it for the right reasons at the right time. Don't just broadly just say, all right, everything's going to be free or everything's going to be discounted. Like, have a plan in place.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if they know what you're worth, like that's the other thing is like I think the discount means more when they know what you're worth and the fact that you don't discount things really ever. You know, that means that's why people run to a freaking Apple store for $100 off a $2,000 MacBook. You know, like it's not like they're putting a 50% off sale or something like that. And their margins are crazy high. And it's a reason why they're one of the, you know, the most successful businesses on the planet, right? So anyway, yeah. So that's the last one, huh?
I mean, we can keep going. I didn't know how much time we got, you know?
I think that's probably it for now. I think we're riding like 40 minutes in. We're probably good with that. That is the last one. We want to answer more of these. It's something that, like I said, we're probably going to do more and more. If you guys like this one in particular, you know, let us know. The easiest way to share this with us, honestly, and let us know that you're listening to this, we love seeing this stuff, is take a screenshot of the actual podcast you're listening to it, and then tag us in that in an Instagram story picture. And then we'll reshare it. I'll reshare whatever you put up. Eve will reshare whatever you put up, and we'll get you in front of the people that follow us. And, you know, it helps us get that in front of more people, because the more we can have, you know, this information get in front of our profession, the more it is our profession can take their career into their own hands going forward, and they can, you know, they can do what it is that they want, whether it be on their own in business or entrepreneurship somewhere else, and, you know, be able to have a really solid career trajectory from that. It's just about getting information in front of as many people as we can. So take a screenshot of that, put it on your stories, and then tag us in it, and we'll repost it as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're going to CSM, man. Like, there's a lot of PTs out there that we know that are frustrated. They're in a bunch of debt. They have this itch, and they don't know what to do with it. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure we reach out to them and give them the option of this other route and show them that it's possible, that it's scalable, that, you know, you may at this point, like, which we couldn't say 2 years ago, you can now go work for a cash-based clinic as an employee. Yeah. I think is freaking amazing. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like you said, it's a renaissance. Change is coming. Awesome. Things are getting.
Tell me this, like, do you think that you would have done your own thing? Like, if you could have worked for, you know, Made to Move, let's say Made to Move was there and you're like, man, I'm tired of doing this thing. And you had an opportunity to take a job with Made to Move, with the setting that you've established for your providers. Would you have even started anything, or would you have gone and actually just taken that position?
Dude, I would have taken that position and probably, like, yeah, done entrepreneurship and something else. I mean, to see 5 to 6 people a day and spend an hour plus sometimes and get that quality of care and work with I can't even think about that. It's almost like a little bit frustrating. Like, that was just not an option for us.
It wasn't. Not at all. And look, other thing too is there's no shame in working for somebody else. Like, that's not like it's a cop out or you're, you know, whatever. There's something wrong with that. there's nothing wrong with that. The problem, the reason that both Eve and I started the business that we did was because that didn't exist, wasn't around. You know, I don't think I would have started Athlete's Potential if I could have worked for it, getting out of the Army. Actually, I know I wouldn't have, especially with two little kids, like, you know, our daughter being, I think she was like 6 months old whenever we started the practice. Like, it was stressful as hell. And I'd much rather would have gotten a job with benefits working for somebody else. I just didn't want to see people, you know, in a capacity that I was sort of forced to. So if you're listening to this and you're like, man, this is amazing, but like, I don't want to actually start my own business. Good. Go find somebody that has done it and, you know, go work with them and be able to actually like use your skill set in the way it's designed and have a job you really like, you know, and be around people that are constantly trying to progress and that motivates you. Like, there's nothing wrong with being an employee. You need to be part of a team. You're not working for somebody, you're working with somebody, and you're getting an opportunity to do it in a very unique setting that most of your peers just do not have the opportunity to do.
Yeah, no, it's amazing stuff, man. I mean, it's just being able, just the same thing that you do with your people is not necessarily even have employees, like they become team members and they become part of your company and you guys help grow it together. And the more of us that can do that and provide opportunities for other PTs to do that, the stronger our profession is going to be in general.
Totally. All right. That's it. Dude, that was fun. Thanks. It's good to catch up. It's good to answer some of these questions. First of all, thanks so much. If you're leaving questions in there, if you're answering questions in there and being, you know, super helpful, we appreciate that as well. We do, you know, look at everything in the group, and this is just an opportunity for us to take a little bit more time and answer some of your questions. So those of you whose questions we did answer, thank you so much for those. Hopefully the response is beneficial to you. And guys, like we said, CSM, if you're there, let us know. Let's get together. Let's meet in person. We'd love to meet as many of you as possible. And until next time, we'll catch you guys. Hey, wait a minute. Just to let you guys know, we are closing in on 200 views on iTunes. That's crazy. Most podcasts hardly get to 100 views, let alone 200. And this is such a niche-specific PT business podcast. That's wild. So let's try to rally the troops and get to 200 reviews for this podcast. The first thing you need to do is you got to subscribe to this sucker, whether it's on iTunes or any other platform that you're listening to on, so you know when new episodes are coming out. The next thing, make sure that you leave a review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I read all of them. It means a lot to me. Next thing, guys, take a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and put it in your stories on Instagram and tag me in it. That's at Danny Matei PT. If you do this, I will repost it. So you'll get a bump, I'll get a bump. We'll share this information with a lot more people because that's the goal, guys. We want to get this information in front of a lot more people. So take a screenshot, share it on Instagram stories, tag me in it, and I will repost it. So here we go. Let's try to get to 200 reviews for the podcast. Thanks for listening.